To understand what we're about to tell you, you need to do something first. You need to believe in nonsense. Can you do that?
So, the more you time travel, here's the story of...
I love The Flash. It's actually suspenseful. It actually has some dramatic elements that set it apart from the other...
It wouldn't be an utterly nonsense without talking about the freaking Flash.
My emotional attachment with this two-dimensional character has completely snapped me out.
She's his lightning rod.
It's quite obvious that it's going to be Sonic the Hedgehog.
Comic books. Video games. Television and movies. These barely Irish assholes must band together to make sense of it all. It's not news. It's utterly nonsense.
Welcome back to part two of episode 100, where we discuss a question that I have for you guys, which is the same question I had before.
What the f***
happened to The Flash? The TV show.
Well, so. I will say I have nowhere near as much to say about the TV series than I do about the movie, which is ironic when you think, you know, the TV series has been on for 9+ years and has, you know, a couple hundred episodes out, has a lot more screen time, has, you know, hours of material to talk about.
They had opportunity and time to build it up, to make it great, to make it make sense. But no, it was, let's make Iris the star of the show.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did, as I was rewatching the first two episodes of the series, find an article that was talking all about that and the whole fan backlash to Iris as a character. And it ties into an inherent element of the show, which, as I confirmed watching the first two episodes, is there right from the very beginning. And that's that the show is not about Barry Allen, the Flash, alone. It's not about building him as the ultimate solo act, as the guy who can do everything, even though he could, because he's a CSI. And here's one element of the first two episodes that's used in one scene each that I wish they would have carried over. He's a CSI. He's a scientist. He's smart. They show two scenes where he's like investigating a scene and
he's literally a genius.
You see a visualization of like what he's thinking in his mind as he's like figuring it out, noticing the details. I suspect they didn't carry that onto the rest of the series because that might have been lifted from the actual show called CSI, like CSI Miami. I know in one of those shows they do something like that, so I don't know, maybe there would have been accusations of, hey, you're ripping us off.
But I vaguely know what you're talking about right now, yeah.
It's a cool thing, and I wish they would have kept that. So Barry Allen, he's a smart guy. He can figure things out himself, which, to the movie's credit, establishes. But this show is built as like an ensemble team show right from the very beginning. He even says, we were all struck by that lightning. When I'm out there, you're all out there with me. So from the very start, it's, I need the team. Guys, what do I do? That's from the very beginning. And when they finally build up Iris being on the team, when she assumes direct control as leader of Team Flash, which, now let's just take away all of the biases that there could be, like misogyny, racism, all these things that get thrown around when it's talking about Iris, because I'm sure those things do happen. I would not doubt it for a second.
Well, but she's not comic accurate either, so I mean, well, I'm sorry.
But the real issue is she's a reporter.
Yeah.
Why is she acting as, like, battlefield commander? That doesn't make sense. You don't see Lois acting as battlefield commander. No, she does her reporter things, and that helps Superman because she helps, like, tell him where to go, who to investigate, who to look out for, and in that way, Iris could be equally contributing. But to have her as commander,
as well as protect him from other smear campaigns, because she'd be like,
right,
no,
exactly,
he's my source. Here's what I just heard from him directly.
Yeah, but they have her in the control room telling everyone what to do, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like, her role is overplayed, and I think that's the issue it has. It's not just she's a bad actress or she's a bad character. No, it's just she's way overplayed. And, like, you know, even aside from the weirdness with them being stepbrother, stepsister, kind of, and you know, her saying, "We are the Flesh." The essence of that line is, Barry, what you do doesn't just affect you. Like, when he goes and sacrifices himself to the Speed Force, that's, and he comes back, that's when she has an issue with that. It's like, you went through all this trouble to save me, but when it came to saving yourself, you just gave yourself away without thinking about me or anyone else. All that you do affects us as the team. That's what the line means. In that way, I'm okay with it. But still, her role is overplayed, and to the point that the show is all about being a team, and the article says this, if you don't like the show being about it as a team, then that's probably not the show for you. I agree. All this time I kept watching it, wanting it to be one thing, but it was focused on that from the very beginning, and that's why eventually I got tired of it. I started listening back to when we reviewed season 4 of The Flash, and I was saying the same thing then, even when season 4 had finished. I'm tired of the team. I'm tired of them not knowing what to do. I'm tired of the villain. And this kind of comes with dragging on a season for 20-something episodes. In the first season, you have Eobard Thawne. It's like a mystery element. You have to slowly build up to him and figure out his connection. They're investigating the mystery of like who killed his mother. That was fine. Season 2 got a little goofy with Zoom. You know, give me your speed, rah, 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 I'm evil. That. Won't get into it. And then Savitar was just a joke once the reveal happened.
Well, there was some mysterious aspect at first, and then it was just like, oh, it's obviously you, motherfucker.
But those characters were still relatively threatening when they appeared. Yeah. Now, DeVoe, the season 4 villain, the Thinker, they kept facing off with him, and they just kept, like, getting beaten in ridiculous ways. It's like I say when we talked about season 4, it's like the Flash comes in, trips on a banana peel, and then the guy just teleports out of there. That formula gets old. But, you know, you have a season-end villain, 20-something episodes, that's inevitable. Even if they're doing, like, the episodic kind of single villain of the episode thing. Which, now I want to briefly acknowledge another YouTuber, because I noticed, I was looking at analytics for our review of the Flash movie, and it said, a lot of your viewers are coming from this video called, The Flash is Insufferably Inconsistent. So... This guy, he has like a series of hour-long videos where he goes through the seasons and goes through all of the different, it's like CinemaSins kind of, where it's like all pointing out all the inconsistencies and dumbass things that happen. So he makes a point every single time that the Flash is bad from the beginning because it was always inconsistent with Barry's speed. Because you think a guy who can move and think at the speed of light should never lose. And that's true.
He can think faster than a nanosecond. Yeah. He can perform faster than Batman's supercomputer.
It's a good point.
That is how smart and fast he is. But, and I hate how everyone goes like, oh, we don't know that.
I mean, that's a problem they've had since season one, right? Like, his powers make absolutely no sense. It's completely inconsistent how fast he is from moment to moment.
Nothing makes sense about him!
Yeah.
And they basically use the Speed Force as a cop-out for any possible explanation as to why he's...
Yeah, seriously, the writers even write themselves into the corner. They go like, alright, how are we gonna get ourselves out of this fucking Speed Force?
Yeah, it's either that...
It's every single time.
Or he doesn't believe in himself, or he doesn't know how to run... That was a legit thing they explored in season 2. He didn't know how to run. But, so I'm going to get into a comparison here. So this is like, and you'll laugh, a Star Trek problem.
Of course it is.
Where they have such incredible technology. They have this thing called transporters, right? You can translocate your position from anywhere to anywhere at almost any distance. You could just be anywhere. Poof. You're somewhere else. And they have these amazing scanners that can detect pretty much anything that's going on, so they can see all and they can be anywhere. So every single episode of Star Trek, when there's some conflict that has to happen that would easily be solved by that technology, they have to write a reason why they can't use it. Oh, there's ionization in the atmosphere, we can't beam down, we can't use scanners, so we have to take a shuttle, and oh my god, the shuttle crashes, yada yada yada. They have to make excuses to write around this built-in limitation. And that's what the Flash series is like. It's inherently limited by its concept. A guy who can move and think as fast as he needs to, you're not always going to be able to make a believable reason why he can't, so you just have to make schlock. Which is why, like, you know, he runs in a room, he stops and talks to the villain instead of just knocking them over, which is a point that the guy frequently makes in the insufferably inconsistent videos.
And, you know, just can take the oxygen out of them, really, if you wanted to, knock them out unconscious, then bam, Medicups.
I mean, yeah, again, ongoing problem from season one. There's a million ways to probably stop any generic B-list villain that comes across him, but...
But then it wouldn't make it interesting.
And, I mean, there's an obvious reason why they play it out that way, right? Like, they want it to seem like there's some stakes, or they want it to feel like he has some weaknesses. But, yeah, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense based on the abilities they've already sort of described to him up until that point.
Meanwhile, in one of the animated movies, he got killed so fast and easy by the Joker, and everyone was just like, what the fuck? That was it?
Oh, that was garbage. Yeah, that was injustice. Screw that.
I'm still mad about that.
For me, the elements don't... Those elements don't distract... too much in the earlier seasons, and I did rewatch season one like a couple years ago, so I'm not like completely fresh faced, and it's not like I only watched it when it first came out. So yeah, I mean, I don't think the first season's as bad as you know, we might have built it up to be. So
yeah,
for me, season five is sort of where it started to fall off and lean more into the campy elements. You know,
that
you started
Savitar?
To see a less serious one.
No,
Savitar was season three. DeVoe was season four.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to remember where I left off last. I remember Nora being around, and that was it.
So season five was Cicada.
Cicada.
Just,
who the heck?
You know, all right, I remember him.
Oh, you do, actually. I thought you were going to forget.
Yeah, so season five with Cicada.
I like Cicada.
I thought he was fine as, like, a B-list villain, but it's like they were obviously trying to overplay him as being, like, just this over-the-top ridiculous villain.
I did think they were overestimating his status as a villain. I was like, oh, he seems dope and all, but he seems rather minor.
So this is the problem with Cicada. His only power is this chunk of exploded stuff from the end of season four that nullifies meta powers. That's his only threat, is he commands this chunk. So it's like the whole time.
And again, someone who's running as fast as the Flash should easily be able to disarm someone.
Well,
right?
It's like if he gets within proximity of the guy, then he loses his speed. So I guess.
Hey, what's Batman's superpower? He's a billionaire. What's Oliver Queen's
literally
superpower?
Batman
he
could
has
take
a lot
out
of
this
money
guy.
Too. The fuck?
Yeah, right. They could just get Green Arrow. Take this guy out immediately. But that's the point, right? They keep having encounters with a villain who's should be easily defeatable, and I think that's what wore on me. Like, if you have some, and this is why we remember season one so fondly, because Reverse Flash is like the one kind of guy that the Flash shouldn't be able to beat easily, nor should anyone else. No one else but a speedster could stand up to him. And don't forget, he comes from the future. He, you know, is scientifically mind. He has all these things going for him.
You should know what his opponent Ari is capable of. And if he just got his powers in its infancy, he should be nowhere near the level that he already knows that his arch rival is at.
So, again, that's why the first four seasons do work for me a little more than the rest of the series, right? Like, you've got three legitimately threatening speedsters and one legitimately threatening villain who's, you know, outside of that mold. You know, they're all unique in their own ways, but for the most part, I think they all sort of pose this unique threat to Barry that he doesn't see in the rest of the series. So again, part of the reason why Cicada falls off for me and why every villain after Cicada falls off for me is just, you know, they don't seem like they're that threatening. It seems like they're just the villain of the week, but yet they've made entire seasons around them.
Right.
And beyond that, I mean... Yeah, from season five on, and maybe this is just me conflating ideas, but it seems like the team elements do sort of carry on, and they're sort of forgetting what made the series interesting in the first place.
Oh, there's a lot to dig into there.
It gets worse in seasons 7 through 9, but season five, I think, is really where it started to go on the downward end of that slope.
Yeah, so I didn't watch past halfway from season 6, so I don't know the villains, like when they got into Mirror Master, and I think they brought back Godspeed again. And I don't even know what came after that.
They had Mirror Master?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a woman. And
when?
Was that season 7?
It was the second half of season 6 and then part of 7, I think.
It was later on. It's like she's fairly unmemorable.
Because Iris was lost in the mirror world. You get this. Iris gets lost in the mirror world. And her mirror clone is walking around doing something or other. And so that's a conflict that doesn't get resolved at the end of season 6 because COVID.
Oh, so it's her flirting with her husband in front of her, emotionally torturing her.
Yes, stuff like that.
Again, for me, at this point, it was still watchable. It's just, you could tell it was sort of in decline.
Yeah, so there's the issue of the villains getting, I suppose, less interesting. The formulaicness of it wearing down, and then the team dynamic. Now, on top of that, you have more secondary characters being introduced. So Sisko and Caitlin, yeah, I like them okay. Sisko is pretty cool. When they were doing the gimmick with the different welds each time, that was kind of fun. Yeah, they had the Council of Welds. But, you know, not everything stays fresh, so they introduce more characters. Now they have Cecile, and I didn't realize they already got to her giving birth at the end of Season 4. But then she sticks around, and then they give her powers. And then by the end of the series, she's Phoenix from X-Men. And then they have a new Sisko and a new Caitlin. You have the, you know, remember the guy with black hole powers, but then he lost them, and then that wasn't mentioned again until, like, the very end, and then he still didn't use them. And now they have the new Caitlin, but she's, like, doesn't do anything Caitlin does. And then, oh, I'm not even talking about the new version of Caitlin. I mean the other female side character who kind of filled that role with the light powers. What, I don't even know her name.
Yeah, I mean, what I saw of Season 9 was just absolutely terrible.
What was Zion when we were watching this? I don't even remember already.
Yeah, well, we all were tuned out by this point.
I must have been so out of it. Oh my God. Wow.
So you have all these side characters that are getting all this screen time. And if Mike were here, he would tell you, while I was watching the last season, just to torture myself and be able to talk about it, there were so many times I'm like, you know, seeing it, and it's not about Barry. It's not centering on him. It's taking so much screen time with these side characters because this is a Team Flash show. But right. I don't like these characters. I wasn't watching it for these characters, and yet it is about them. So I just end up, you know, spamming the seek forward button, skipping through all this crap just to get to the point. And it got to where there was an entire episode that was just side characters, and literally it was like Barry and Iris go on their honeymoon or some vacation or something, and they appear in like the last 3 seconds. I'm like, dear God. So we thought, like Arrow did with its last season, it was going to be limited episodes, and so was the last Flash season. And it's like, okay, Felicity isn't going to be in it, so you can't complain about her anymore. It's going to be one solid condensed buildup to the end with Arrow, which for the most part it was. That had Crisis intermixed with it. So that's what we thought it was going to be for The Flash, but it wasn't. It was more one-off episodes with, like, this whole thing with Red Death, which wasn't Batman. It wasn't an alternate version of Barry. It was just an alternate version of the newer Batwoman from Season 2 of Batwoman, Ryan Wilder. Okay, so nothing related to the comic aside from the name. You know, nothing to do with Dark Knight's Metal or the Underworld multiverse, or the Dark Multiverse. None of that. It's just something copying the costume and the name. It was like a 3 or 5-parter, I don't remember. And it was crap. She was stupid, she was over-the-top goofy, she gets dispatched easily, never brought up again. Done. Then a bunch of one-off episodes that mean nothing. Okay, done. Then finally, they have like an ending sort of 4-parter. It's really just a 2-parter, mostly, where they build up to a new villain. Not a previous one, because we already got rid of Reverse Flash. Eobard is dead and gone, along with all the negative forces. I'm not even going to get into the dead. Negative forces, yeah. Because I didn't watch it, so I honestly can't comment on it with knowledge, but from clips I've seen, it was just stupid. It was... I can't even give the words of how, like, ridiculous it is. But anyway, the Flash died with the negative forces, so they build up the real final villain to be the negative Speed Force itself. Okay. It wants a new avatar. So it brings back Eddie Thawne from Season 1, and it, like, gets in his mind and says, "You were robbed of your life. Now you must take your revenge on the avatar of the positive Speed Force. You must kill him." Angry. So he becomes Cobalt Blue, and for details that I don't think anyone even cares about knowing, he's different from the comic book Cobalt Blue. Fine, that's okay. His costume looks similar, but he's basically a villain for like one episode, and what he does is bring back the other speedster villains from the series, including the Harrison Wells-faced Eobard Thawne again, for them to get dispatched with relative ease by the side characters. Not Barry Allen. Barry Allen doesn't face any of them. All the side characters do.
Yeah, and none of them die instantly.
And then they get, like, Thanos snapped away. And they all have red lightning, which is visually kind of weird because they aside from Miobard, they had their own color.
It shouldn't be at all.
But if you think you thought Cobalt blue, why doesn't he have blue lightning? Oh, it's negative speed force, so it has to be red. Anyway, small details aside, Barry ends up dealing with this threat by saying, hey, you know, you don't have to choose evil. You're a good guy. There is another way. I'm paraphrasing. But then they shake hands and they say, okay, I guess that's it. And in the halfway through the final episode of the series, the final ultimate villain just says, yeah, okay, I guess I'm done. Walks off screen, and then the rest of it is dedicated to, like, winding down, showing these characters are all going to have a great time, they're going to have great lives, they all love each other, and I'm Barry Allen, and I need you to believe in the impossible. And, yeah. And he doesn't end up, you know, ending the series by, which Grant Gustin wanted this, he doesn't end the series by becoming the lightning bolt that strikes him in the first episode. He ends it by throwing it and making,
you know, something good.
Three new speedsters, three new actors who are never going to be seen, never going to come back.
Ever.
No one really knows, or unless you follow comics, no one really knows who the hell they are.
I only remember Matt Mercury, and that was it.
Max Mercury, yeah. So that was a nothing. The whole thing was a nothing.
I was pissed.
What it should have ended, if they were smart, is the showrunner, Eric Wallace, wanted the happy ending. He didn't want the bittersweet one. So, okay, I got a compromise for you. Instead of Barry Allen throwing the lightning and hitting three randos, have him, and to make it really have an emotional impact, so the beginning of the series says Flash vanishes in crisis April, I think, 19th or 14th, 2024. Obviously, we're not in 2024, but still, they could have said 1 year later, something is happening, the timeline is unraveling for some reason, the Flash is ceasing to exist. Why? Because he hasn't been created. So then...
Nope.
That's probably not making sense the way I'm saying it, but it makes sense in my head. Just trust me.
No, okay, what you're saying. Like, you want to have him cause the inciting event.
For the show, it would have made sense. And with how we had DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
So, to have it come full circle and have an emotional impact, have some kind of circumstances that require 2024 Barry Allen to not die or himself disappear for good, but to have the Flash disappear because Barry Allen must now use all of his speed, because at this point it's established that he is essentially the speed force. There is no other force outside of him. Have all of the speed that he has, he must now use it and turn it into the lightning bolt and send it back in time to strike him in 2014, thus creating the Flash so that the world as they know it can go on. But then you also have, so it's twofold. You have that ending, which references, I don't know, one of the Crisis comics at some point where he becomes the lightning bolt. I forget which one it was. But you have that element where he throws the bolt that gives him power. But you also have the kind of happy ending where Barry Allen gets to stay around and raise his family. Bang! Hire me! Right?
Yeah, I mean, the writing got so bad by the ninth season that I think any guy off the street could probably write a better finale.
But would that not be perfect? They could have done that. There's no reason they couldn't have.
And that would have been pretty good.
They leave it off on the Flash as Barry Allen is still going to be around, but there's going to be these three other people so he can just have more time with his family. It's like, okay, but we don't know who those people are. That's like... It just could have been done better.
It's not a good show, guys.
I had so much fun with it the first couple seasons, and just... I never was more disappointed.
I don't even know if it was disappointed. I just got tired to the point where I couldn't watch anymore.
Me, personally, I was just disappointed with what happened.
Yeah, like... So let's break down the season. Season 1, I think we all agree, we all liked... Personally, season 2, I didn't like as much, but I was still with it. Then 3...
Yeah, it's sort of where I'm at.
3 is where it started going, I'm getting tired of this for me. And by 4, I was like, I am tired of this.
I remember liking 1 through 4 overall. I tried my best to like it. Everything else was just like, from there.
Yeah, I mean,
for me personally,
I did like 4 just because of Clifford DeVoe, you know, the thinker. I thought he was sort of refreshing, and by that point, I was sort of sick of speedster villains, so that was a nice change of pace.
It was nice. It was a refreshing take. I'm pretty sure I said something like that in the first podcast, where we were just like, "Oh, look, non-speedster villain! Finally, let's go! It's so refreshing. We got this. Yeah. Let's go!" And then we were like, "What the?" Just happened.
Yeah, he was a cool concept until they got to his motivation where he's like, I want to reset everyone to monkey brain so that I can be the grand big ruler of them all. It's like,
Yeah, it's a little dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if there was an exact turning point where it just got bad, but, you know, like I said, season 5, is, I think, is where it started to fall off and sort of embraced the elements that I think didn't make the show work.
Yeah. That has to be it, because then season 6, I remember thinking, I don't want to watch this, but just because Crisis is happening, I'll watch it up to that point. And the villain they had there, Bloodwork, he was okay. I was okay with that.
No, he seemed interesting, and it was Mohinder Suresh, so that's always a win.
But then I did not continue after, because it wasn't good enough to get me to keep watching.
So I will say season 8, like, you know, they had this whole... I forget what they call the like first 5 or 6 episode arc. I think it was like Apocalypse or the,
Armageddon with
Armageddon,
some
yes.
giant pink looking alien guy. I don't know.
That was interesting. It brought Eobard back, and that worked pretty well. Like the Flash's whole life story basically changing in front of him, Joe mysteriously dying, and you know, Flash being psychologically tortured. That was interesting. That was a good return to form. As soon as that ended, it did not carry any of that momentum. Like, they got back into the whole, oh, the forces are your main threat.
Everything felt like there was no weight to everything. It was just like, yeah, that happened, but now we're over it. Like, what? No. The Flash is a very traumatized character, obviously.
I forget if it was end of season 7 or beginning of season 8, but whenever they basically made the whole Stealth Force and Slow Force and whatever other forces are around the Speed Force, that was fucking terrible. Like, that was just bad writing that made me not care.
Literal
about...
generic CW teenagers.
Yeah, it like completely... First of all, the Speed Force concept is just dumb at its
oh,
base,
yeah,
right?
And then
like...
his mother is the Speed Force now. Oh, no, that's icky. No. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb on its face. It's like...
Why did the Speed Force impersonate as his mother in the first place? That was the so weird... She was like, here, we thought this face would be the most comfortable for you and like most familiar. It's just like, no, that's horrifying.
I can understand the Speed Force existing as like a cushion for like any of the laws of physics he's defying by being the Flash, you know, just as sort of workaround for anything that's scientifically impossible. But when you get into it being a supernatural thing that just is all-encompassing and basically God in this universe, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of the reason it dropped off. But really, season 8 is when it became unwatchable for me, specifically because, you know, it focuses on these team elements, and every single episode just becomes a chore to watch. Like,
it was a chore, yeah.
It's like, you know... Even when it was like sort of a soap opera and not the best it's ever been, I could still watch it. But when it got to season 8 and they just clearly were not putting any effort into actually making, you know, an even watchable show, that's where it fell off for me completely.
Yeah.
I think it was where I dropped it was like season 5 or 6, like right after the Nora shit. I was just like, this is done. I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Like for me, it was 5. So it was earlier for me at that point. So, like, 4, I said I was tired of it. And then 5, I felt like a captive audience. Like, it's sunken cost fallacy. I just feel like I have to watch.
Right.
But not even Ralph Dibny could save it for me. Remember Ralph Dibny? Elongated man?
Yeah.
He was good in season
Digby.
4. And then they canceled him.
I thought he was great.
Then he got canceled.
Yeah,
and that poor guy has not had a single acting role since.
Yep. Despite doing nothing wrong.
Should he have tweeted those things back in the day? Absolutely not. But
who fucking cares? Tweets?
Yeah, no. Just let me finish.
Okay.
Hey, should he have tweeted those things back in the day? Absolutely not. But should he lose his job for something that was 10 fucking years ago? No.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I mean, refer to our cancel culture episode.
No
from,
one's
like,
thinking the same way they thought 2 years ago, let alone 10.
Yeah, legitimately, like, I always have different opinions. Like, I surprise myself. I'm like, if I go back in a chat and look what I said 2 years ago, I'm like, oh, why would I say that?
We have this thing called growing up and processing things differently than we did. Do I have the same opinions that I had at 24 that I do now? No! Clearly I don't! Because it's called getting educated.
So, first of all, we did a whole podcast on cancel culture where we, like, sort of detailed the Hartley Sawyer stuff.
Which was episode 69. We didn't do that on purpose. But
so that's going back a couple years. I feel like that's been done to death at this point, right? Like, I'm just talking about cancel culture.
We've been killing that horse hard.
The thing is, yeah, if you're being crucified for shit you may have innocently posted, like, literally, he just posted jokes that were sort of off color, you know, 10 years ago. And
they're not great.
Because, like, yeah, I mean, if you're actually firing a guy and basically ruining his career for a fucking joke or a fucking set of jokes, you're an idiot. Like, you should not be doing that shit to. Like,
it's messed up on both sides, no matter what.
Genuinely, look at yourself in the mirror. If you're calling for the cancellation and the firing of someone who really did some innocent jokes, you're just a terrible person.
You know what might be related to it? I'm just thinking now. Because the CW was going through kind of a cleanse at that point, I think. Because now, maybe this doesn't have anything to do with it, but it was brought up in the article about We Are the Flash that, like, I guess around 2020, there are apparently some elements in the, quote, fan base that are, you know, abusive or whatever towards some of the actors who happen to be minorities. So that's when they put on all their Twitter profiles, said, we do not tolerate any kind of, you know, misogyny, racism, or anti-LGBT stuff. So all of that gets deleted. They put that in all their profiles. But I think more related to the point is, the one showrunner of The Flash, who was showrunner all the way up until season 5, I believe, Andrew Kreisberg, he got Me Too'd. And that was about around the time that I think the thing with Hartley Sawyer came out. So I think maybe they were, like, coming off of that momentum, like, well, if we get rid of this guy who's had gotten in trouble for, you know, whatever treatment of women, then this other guy who made jokes about treating women poorly, I think that's what some of it or most of it was, then we got to get rid of him too, just to look consistent, or else, you know, we'll be trashed on Twitter, because that's what matters most is public opinion on the place you should take least seriously.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
So that's another thing, is after Andrew Kreisberg left, then the showrunner was Todd Helbing, who became the showrunner of Superman and Lois, which we thought was decent in the first season, not so much the second, but clearly...
I thought it was a great first season.
Clearly, he didn't make the show better, and then Eric Wallace took over, and the show really didn't get better. And it got the ending season that we saw, if you did watch it. Well, I described it to you, so just don't watch it. Remember when I said to you guys, I'm like, I think I got to the episode where Arrow appears, and I'm like, okay, start watching here. But then, like, right after that, they went back to irrelevant nonsense.
Well, that's the name of the show.
So what happened to The Flash? I don't know. I guess it was just an ongoing...
I think it got blipped out.
...de-evolution, right? Because there are, as I established, there are some issues that were there from the beginning, and they just kind of continued to eat away at it.
Right.
So it was just like... Instead of the content becoming more fresh, it was becoming less fresh, but they were kind of doing the same thing and focusing on elements that were less interesting, like, you know, side characters and ridiculous high concept things like, let's create avatars for all of these forces, and then they all look like generic CW teenage cast stuff. It's just, at some point, you just gotta tap out.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. It definitely ran, like, 3 or 4 seasons too long. Should have been closed out a little bit sooner. Should have been closed
out
a little
bit better. Had a great amount of potential, though.
The shorter season was good.
We recorded this whole reaction from the finale, which I don't think we ever did anything with. I mean, now would be a good point to, like, inject the audio in.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
But, I mean, the thing was, it was such an unsatisfying finale to what started off as being a pretty watchable series. So... That's the big thing, right? Like, there's no sense of catharsis after all of this.
No catharsis and darkness at all here, yeah.
And funny enough, despite everyone hating the CG of the film, I don't think CG ever, or bad CG, was ever really an issue for The Flash, because I specifically remember when, like, Gorilla Grodd and King Shark were on screen, which you would think, oh, wow, that's... that has so much potential to be screwed up and just look horrible. No, they look decent. Most of the time, the effects on the show look pretty good.
The thing is, for a low-budget CW series, it looked very good. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's like movie quality or anything, but it was much better than I think casual fans would have expected.
It was, at least initially, better than it had any right to be. Like, just watching the first couple episodes now, like, the speed effects... they're not what they are later in the seasons because he has less lightning, but I think that kind of makes sense because it's like showing him as a blur, kind of like what they do in Smallville, and he has like small, faint streaks of lightning because, you know, he's not fully connected to the Speed Force yet. So whether that was like an effects choice or just a visual choice, story-wise, it makes sense. And then the lightning does look pretty good, like whenever it's on screen, but then it's not about how it looks detail-wise, it's like what they do with it. Like, for instance, having a lightsaber fight with lightning-created swords, or Batwoman using the Speed Force and throwing a batarang at super speed, or using, like, a Speed Force-created whip to whip around a street lamp. They go to ridiculous places with this lightning manipulation thing, and that's where it's like, okay, the effect isn't necessarily bad inherently, but it just looks bad.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, The Flash is not a good TV series. Don't go out of your way to watch it.
Well, that's the thing, though. After watching the second episode of the first season, now, just today, I would say I would continue to watch that. I would recommend continuing to watch that. And I've also been rewatching Smallville recently. The second episode of The Flash's first season is way better than the second episode of Smallville's first season. And obviously, there's a lot of carryover creative talent in, you know, throughout the season. So, you know, it's like we've been repeating, starts out decent, more than watchable, but at some point, you got to quit. And don't wait too long, because then you'll just be miserable and say, why did I waste my time?
Well, with all that being said, I think we've said literally all we can about all of these.
I believe we got all our frustrations out, and we were able to say what we've been wanting to say for the past couple of years.
We started with this the very first time we talked. You know, first it was with Paris about the, I think that was like the end of season 3. And then when we started our first thing, it was the beginning of 4. So, and I even say in one of the episodes, I said, we talk about this way too much. This is putting the end on it. This is the cap on it. We're done. I'm done. That's it. Utterly Nonsense is over. I'm retiring.
Unlike the actual series, we're giving at least this arc of the podcast a little bit of catharsis.
Yeah. Episode 100, it's a two-parter. We did as much rambling as we've ever done. That's it. I'm out.
If you like what you heard here, you've stuck around this long, check out our other social media links, our other podcast links. Not sure how you found us, but all of our stuff can be found on utterlynonsense.com.
And thank you for bearing with us, as always.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah, we did a low-res review on The Flash movie when it first came out a couple weeks ago, so...
give it some love.
Go check that out. It's on YouTube, only half an hour long. If you stuck around for an hour or two, or however long we cut this down to, then... you know, that's a palate cleanser, basically. With all that being said, this has been Utterly Nonsense. Ape and Music, play us out.
What the Flash?